And we're getting right into our lesson for tonight. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you for your son, Jesus, paying the price on the cross for us, redeeming us from the curse of the law that we can stand in your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're the one that can escort us inside the mind of God. You're the very Spirit of God. You can escort us there so that we can understand and comprehend and lay hold of things that God has been planning for us, things that God has been thinking towards us, and things that God has been designed for us to do. God, we honor you and we bless you tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Last week we were together. We were in chapter 7. I have 2 points I had to finish in chapter 7, and then we're going to go over into chapter 8. Chapter 7, we're supposed to get to the last two points for how we should be thinking about covenant. The last two are very important. Accurate mental attitudes of covenant, very important. The first one, or the first one I'm going to cover tonight, which is the first of the last two, is we pay the price to honor those we have covenant with. On page 59. We pay the price to honor those we have covenant with, which is the sixth mental attitude for those who are in covenant. All right, we together? All right, we pay the price to honor those we have covenant with. Ruth was willing to pay the price to honor Naomi. What it means to pay a price? In other words, to pay a price means you have to do something or give up something that's precious to you. It costs you something. Whenever you hear somebody talking about paying a price, that means they gave, literally in the business world, they gave a figure or amount of money for something in exchange. They paid a price for it. Where we talk about paying a price to honor someone, that means that's something that is precious to us, something that we have that we're willing to give up. Now, remember now, before you let your mind go back to the old paradigm of thinking, you have to realize that we must have the spirit of what? Sacrifice. Remember we talked about that? When we talked about that, we must have the spirit of sacrifice. If you do not have the spirit of sacrifice, if you do not have a capacity to sacrifice, you will not make it in covenant. You will not make it a covenant with God. You will not make it a covenant with man. You will not make it any type of covenant if you do not have a spirit of sacrifice. We must be willing to pay the price to honor those we're in covenant with. Look, Ruth gave up her God, gave up her way of life, gave up what looked like her future family. Because remember that she can't even go and find another husband. She gave all that up because she believed in Naomi and Naomi, what Naomi stood for, and Naomi covenant with God. So she paid a price to honor that. See, if you're not willing to pay, it's amazing to me how many people want more of God but not willing to honor. Not willing to walk in honor. Not willing to do what it takes to get what God wants them to be. How many see this? Watch this. Those who are ignorant of the true power of covenant serve with the incremental sacrifices as they play a wait-and-see attitude. Those who are mature, however, know what they are sowing into the other partner. Those in covenant and those who are mature know that covenant relationships are an investment that will protect them and provide for them in the what? Future. In the future. Go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. See, one of the things about human nature, and even though our human nature causes us to go every other place except the present moment. Matthew 6 chapter, watch this. Because the Holy Spirit brought a scripture to me just now that I need to read. Matthew the 6th chapter, not the 33rd verse, but go to the 34th verse. Matthew 6 and 34. That's what it says. Take no thought for the what? Morrow or tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, we can kind of cast this off, but you can't cast this off because this is Jesus talking. So Jesus obviously knows what he's saying. Now, you have to understand that this connotation of this scripture, you have to read the context. You know, some of y'all, I think y'all study Living by the Book, right? And you understand how you have to observe and see the situation and know the surroundings and know what's happening here. Jesus was laying out a skeleton of how to serve the Father. And in this particular passage in the 6th chapter, see, when that 33rd verse, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you, right? Now, if that is true, that means I don't have to worry about tomorrow. So what Satan likes to do is Satan likes to get us out of our present moment and put us either in our past or in our future. See, a lot of people right now, some people right now, in the body of Christ, can't grasp the principle of seed time and harvest. Can't grasp it. Why? Because the world seems to keep telling them save for tomorrow. Everything is replacing side joint right quick, side joint. A savings account. Do I have one? Yes. Should you have one? Yes. But here's what I call my favorite account. It is my seed account. Now, I'm still on my subject of covenant. I call it a seed account. Here's how savings come into play. A savings account should be no more than a place you hold money that you don't have instructions for yet. Because it's supposed to happen. Because the aim of mine, it talks about the reaper overtaking the sower. God began to give us illustrations. Jesus began to give us power about building barns. So, and we don't have more than enough, but it's how you think about it. See, my point is, people don't want to sacrifice today in order for their future to be taken care of tomorrow. Let me go to another one. Go back further up in the 6th chapter. Go back further up to, let's see, verse 19. See, people can't grasp this because they don't understand covenant. See, God created a covenant. See, God believes in covenant. He said a covenant is in 22. He said, long as the earth was made, see, time and father. So based on that covenant, God set the man. That's how Jesus is becoming his 19th verse and says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures of heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So watch this. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So this guy, Jesus is not telling me not to have a savings account. He's not saying that. He's saying whatever you have in there, don't you be trying to save it as your own protection for tomorrow. Is that making sense? Because when you do that, that means you don't trust him today. And here's the thing. We have to get past the fear of God asking us for everything. We have to get past the fear of God asking us for everything. If you don't get past that fear, then it's going to be hard for you to grasp the principle of seed time and harvest. When you say, God, everything I have is yours, do you trust God? Can you trust God? Are you seeing it? God is perfect in all his ways. There was nowhere you can find where God asked for everything from somebody and wasn't prepared to take care of it. You can read all of no, you can't find it nowhere. Nowhere. So when you say, God, I'm giving everything to you now, what you're doing is exactly what the author says. Those in covenant and those who are mature know that covenant relationships, this is important, are an investment that will protect them and provide for them in the future. So that means, listen a minute, that means when I have the spirit of sacrifice and I let God know, God, everything I have is yours now. And I don't have fear for you coming and ask me for it. Now, go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 9:10. Here's an apostle structuring doctrine in church. Here's the Apostle Paul structuring doctrine in the church. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he that ministers seed to the soil both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. All right, let's break this down. Now he that ministers, God ministers, or God gives. That word ministers takes a little more connotation to give because it's a giving of yourself. When you minister to somebody, I don't know if you had a chance, but when you minister, even when you preach to a congregation, there is virtue leaving from you. Energy is leaving from you. So I know that comes a lot of times when you minister, we stay around him after he finished ministering because he gives everything away after he ministers. Because at that moment, he's given everything he has. So you tithe, you just loving people, you just open. Are you seeing it? So when God, when it says he ministers to you, I mean God is giving up himself. So it's not just a plain giving. You know, like saying the scripture, God gives seed to the soul. No, that ain't really what it means. It's God giving up himself. Seed. To who? So, somebody who believes in his principles and are willing to stand on what he says. Not just anybody, but somebody who's willing to stand on what he says. Now, what's he now? He went to tree to the soil. Now, then he gives of himself bread for your food. That means God takes care of your current necessities. Are you seeing this? Then God turns around and multiplies the seed that he ministers to you. Right? Then he turns around and increases the result of you doing things his right way. All he's going to be able to do. God first, this is the God of covenant now. The God of covenant. He gives of himself seed. In other words, God takes personal responsibility that you have seed. He takes personal responsibility that you have money to give. Then he takes personal responsibility that your necessities are taken care of. So in other words, when you have a spirit of sacrifice and you sow a seed, God immediately becomes responsible for taking care of your necessity. Even if you're given a seed, God is going to take care of a necessity. It's covenant. I'm talking about covenant. He turns on and multiplies. Listen to me now. He multiplies your seed that you sow. Then he increases the result, the fruit that the fruit is, the result of you doing things his way. So now here God has given you seed. He multiplies seed so you have no seed. Then he comes back and increases the result of you sowing the seed. Are you seeing it? This comes from you doing it in the present moment. He didn't say he gives seed to people who will sow. He gives seed to a sower. That's somebody who has become. I have become this. So in other words, if I become this, that means I have determined in my mind, I have determined in my spirit, this is what I'm going to do. And this is what causes us to be protected and provided for in the future. Are you seeing this? So we have to pay the price to honor those we're in covenant with. You have to be willing. You keep paying the price. Don't just simply mean, I'm going to do what's comfortable for me. I'm going to allow God to push my envelope. I'm allowed the grace of God. Grace empowers you to do something that you can't do on your own. I will embrace the grace that he's given me to allow me to be pushed past my limits of my mind, the limits of what I think I can do, and allow God to take me to where he wants me to take, where he wants to take me. Is this making sense? See, because you cannot be covered in just doing enough. Because watch this now, Galatians 6 and 7 is the basis for covenant. If I'm just doing enough, then what I'm going to read? God. If I'm doing just enough, if I'm not, remember, God says, God's not mine. For whatever man says, that's still a y'all for weak. So I can't just give of myself, just give enough to make me comfortable. I can't just commit enough to make me comfortable. Because that's all I'm going to get back. See, once again, God is not mocked. God will not be made a fool of in his area. So whatever a man says, that's he also weak. So if I'm just committing enough to make myself comfortable, then I'm only going to reap commitment enough, just enough. Are you seeing it? Ruth really had nothing to gain. So she thought. And then we thought she had nothing to gain. Now I ain't got no son. I ain't got no money. We ain't got no land. But what Ruth saw the God of Naomi and fell in love with the God of Naomi. And her connection to that God was through Naomi. Are you feeling it? Finally, we take a stand in righteousness with those we have covenant with. We took a stand in righteousness so that Naomi could redeem her land and her property. Ruth became instrumental for the total redemption of all that Naomi lost in the past. Watch this. She became the seed for a new beginning of complete restoration of stature and status in society. God is raising a genuine company of covenant partners that will cause the status and stature of their fathers to rise to the next level. Do you know a leader can only go so far, or only can go as far as the followers let them? A leader can only go so far. Can only go as far as those that are following or discipling allow them to go. A lot of times, leaders, just let me close it, let me close it. Leaders are put there for a reason. They're able to see what others can't see. So that's why you have to choose who you follow carefully. This is why, once again, this is why I have a problem with a person calling themselves an apostle who has no experience whatsoever. I have a problem with people who, you didn't tell me God wants to use you to structure doctrine, and you have had no experience with God at all. Because when you start talking about a leader, you're talking about somebody that's saying something that you don't see. And sometimes you're going to have to commit without knowing what they see. This is where the trust factor comes in. This is why following God is so important. Remember how we talked about the first thing that God would do when you go after Him, the first thing He would do is connect you with somebody that's going in the direction that He wants you to go in? That's already been going that direction, has experience, been doing it for a while, been going that road for a while, and they connect you to them. It's because you're going to be exposed to things in covenant that you're supposed to be exposed to, but you've never been exposed to. So when you haven't been exposed to it, you have some hesitation. But what overrides the hesitation is the trust and love you have for the person that's leading you. Does that make any sense? But watch this. Sometimes you're going to have to take a stand and not be able to explain your stand. All you may have to say is, I know I'm committed to where God is placing me. I guarantee you, some of you know, David was in a cave. Saul was still too. David was in a cave, but there was something they recognized on David. The new Samuel had anointed David. And they joined themselves to David even while Saul was still king. They joined themselves to David, not really able to explain their thing. All they knew is, we know God anointed you to be king. We're going to join ourselves to you. I'm sure they prayers to trust you. I'm sure some of their family members were questioning them. Why are you doing this? Look, I really can't tell you. And frankly, to be honest, it's really not your business. Are you seeing this? See, we watch this now. We have to be willing to take a stand in righteousness. So now God is still at the root of this thing. We have to take a stand for doing things God's right way. Are you seeing this? See, this covenant thing is this covenant thing gonna cost you. This covenant thing is not a casual coming together. We went over this. It's not a casual coming together. It's a life thing. It's something I'm doing with my life, for my life. And I'm doing it for life. How many see this? I'm doing it with my life. And I'm doing it for life. Did everybody catch that? You want to repeat that? I say it because I might not be able to repeat it again. I'm doing it with my life. I'm doing it for my life. And I'm doing it for life. The acrimonial attitude of covenant. I'm going to go over them again real quick before we finish chapter 7. We follow those we have covenant with. We are inseparable from those we have covenant with. We are connected together in destiny with those we have covenant with. We carry the same concerns as those we have covenant with. We partake the same grace as those we have covenant with. We pay the price to honor those we have covenant with. And we take a stand of license with those we have covenant with. That's the mentality you ought to have. That's how you ought to be thinking when you talk about covenant. Now, chapter 8, the author begins to talk about identifying those who we are to join in covenant. Identifying those we are to join in covenant. This is very important. This is one of the most important decisions you ever make in your life. Identifying those you're supposed to come in covenant with. Because remember now, we talked about in the last chapter that when you connect to somebody, you connect to them for destiny. You're connecting to them for your future. So if I connect to the wrong person, that means I may never reach my future, my destiny. So this is important. Go to 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. First Chronicles 11th chapter. First Chronicles 11th chapter, the 10th verse. It says, "These are also the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel." Here it is, these gentlemen have, now watch this now, watch this. This is very important for government. This is very important that you grab this, what these men did. They did all of what they did in chapter 10, according to the last phrase. Let's look at it. According to what? According to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. So that's it. They see Samuel anoint David, and they join themselves to David because of that alone. They didn't join themselves to David because of what it can benefit them. They didn't join themselves to David because there's a trouble with Saul. They joined themselves to David. Listen to that. They joined themselves to David because that's what God said. Are you seeing this? So when God endorsed David, he was putting David in a leadership position that people can connect to because David was going to lead them to their destiny. This is very important. Because a lot of times we ask, I told you this other day, you cannot get in a church and you have to make no adjustments. I'm going to say it again. You can't go to church when it doesn't force you to make adjustments. If you're in a church and you're not forced to make any adjustments, you probably will not grow. No, let me rephrase that. If you're in a church and you don't have to make any adjustments, you will not grow. You will not grow. Come understand that. I'm sure these guys that joined themselves to David had to make adjustments. They couldn't come as they were. Once they connected, there were certain things they were used to doing that they couldn't do no more. There were certain things they were used to have that they couldn't have anymore. They had to make adjustments. But watch this, they didn't do it because of David. They did it because of the Lord, the word of the Lord. When they did it because of the word of the Lord, then they understood the grace that was on David's life. We need to identify those who choose the path of covenant. That's a good statement. You got some leaders that don't know nothing about covenant. They just know about I'm in front, you behind. Oh, y'all ain't here. Y'all look like y'all ain't. There's some leaders that don't believe in covenant. There's some leaders that just understand I'm in front, you behind. That's it. One indication that you're following somebody who don't believe in covenant. When they try to keep you small. When they try to keep you small. When they try to keep you small and they want you to grow, that means intimidation is somewhere in the room. So you're following somebody that don't believe in covenant. Because according to the Bible begins to talk about Jesus said this in the name of God. He said that the Son will grow greater than the Father. But it don't care how much greater you grow, you can never be better than the Father. So there's an expectation of growth. So if you talk to somebody that doesn't cross to your field, then they don't believe in God. Unless we walk in these God-ordained boundaries and live honorably with each other, we will never be able to finish our assignment together. Actual connection will become the ground rules for coming together in a covenant relationship of honor and loyalty. Watch this now. This is very important. We can destroy the seeds of discord, disunity, and betrayal from our land. This is possible. We begin to talk about agile connection, you're going to see how these things can be dealt with. How disunity, discord, and betrayal can be dealt with. We can put it into the pent-up negative energy of offense and unforgiveness from our midst. Let's go to number one. 7 pivotal points for accurate connection. Number one, they affirm that they are part of each other's life. We only come in covenant with people who we feel are part of our lives, who share the same passion and desire. We cannot join what we share no common identity and nature with. You know, see, people get all touchy, and when you start talking about this and start talking about territorial, no, that ain't nothing to do with territorial. It's just some things I'm passionate about that you may not be passionate about. And some things you may be passionate about that I'm not. Watch this. Even in the church, I'm pretty sure the hands are not too concerned with walking. I'm pretty sure about that. You know what I'm saying? Because outside, walking on my hands, upside down, didn't work too good. So I'm sure my hands are not too concerned about my feet. They don't have the same passion. I promise you, your heart, the hands and feet are connected, and they can do some things together, but they don't have the same passion. I hope y'all catch an illustration. Think about the body of Christ. I promise you that the lungs don't have a passion for blood like the heart does. The lungs got passion for oxygen. I hope y'all see my illustration. So just because one church is doing things a certain way doesn't mean they're out of the will of God. It's just I probably won't join them because that's not the passion that God has placed in my heart. But I'm not going to mind it for what they do. So you must have, when you connect to somebody, you can't connect to somebody and then be disgruntled by what drives them. you see the neighbor God connected to him. If you didn't have it, listen, we're going to get to this. Abraham, when Abraham went to fight them kings, Abraham took 300 trained servants. The Bible bears plain is saying this. The 300 trained servants that was born in his house. Meaning, they had the same passion, the same agenda, the same DNA. Is this making sense? See, you have to realize, whoever you're connected to, that you have the same passions in common. That means you're going, that, now watch this, you have the same passions. Watch this now, you have the same passions, you're going the same direction, you have the same DNA. That means the strength that you have and the strength they have of going the same direction to cover your weaknesses and your, and to cover their weaknesses. So momentum is created. Are you feeling this? We discover there are more common grounds and similar perceptions or agreements amongst ourselves to bring this relationship up high to the next level. In other words, the more time you spend with these people, the more time you spend with that person, you begin to find common ground. Some things you may have done in the past, some things God may have told you in the past, may have told them. Might not have said the exact same way, but instead it's similar and it's stuck with you. So when you cross paths, it makes sense. Number two, their allegiance is to God-given leadership. God, what? Given leadership. They understood that God had chosen David to be their leader, even though Saul was figuratively in charge. Do you see that? They understood that God had chosen David. So whoever God connects me to, I must first believe and understand that God chose him to be there. So now if God chose him to be there, I have no right to come in and tell their fault. I have no right to come in and tell none of God had any right. Now watch this. Why did they not have a right to challenge David's authority? Was it because David was so smart? Was it because David was the strongest? It was simply based on the fact that God said, this is who I want. This is why, for me, having respect for leadership is important. I've seen men and women who are anointed by God probably couldn't fight this well with them on a regular bag, but when God's presence gets upon them, nobody can mess with them. Even if they found the most intelligent person. Why? Because that's who God chose. It's nothing we can do about it, nothing anybody else can do about it. When God chose David, he just chose David. When God chose Joseph, it didn't matter how his brothers got mad. It didn't matter the butler. It didn't matter none of them enjoyed. It didn't matter the father. It didn't matter none of them. When God chose Joseph, he just chose Joseph. So we have to attach ourselves. We have to have allegiance to God-given leadership. Notice this now. Because see, all this revolves back to you self-taking your heart. Because see, you can't connect to somebody else. You can't connect to somebody because somebody told you need to connect to them. Come on now. You have to connect because God has a permanent thing to your heart. See, you can't connect to anybody because it's popular. You can't connect to anybody because you see everybody else doing it. You have to connect to that person because God. I've heard it too many times where people say, God led me here. And as soon as the leader goes into a passion or to a direction that they don't like, all of a sudden now, my time is up. Wait a minute. Somebody lied. Either God lied or you lied. Oh, God. And you got a feeling, well, I'm a believer. I'm believing God. Are you seeing this? You in your respective covenant, in your churches, wherever you're connected to, I want you to listen to the next thing, because you and I are responsible for helping protect the leader. Watch this now. Because every one of us will face this person and will come in contact with this person in our churches. Those who come into our churches must not contest the authority and leadership of a set man or woman in the house. Nobody is coming up in here and challenging God in conflict. Nobody. Nobody. We will come to fit the cup if necessary. You didn't build this, so you're not about to direct this. You must be attached to God-given leadership. You must have allegiance to it. See, watch this now. Watch this. You're about to take it somewhere now. This is so true that the same men that attached themselves to David, thank you, Holy Spirit, the same men that attached themselves to David in that cave of Adullam, like 1 Samuel 22, where there was in great distress and discontentment. The same men that be the same ones that surround David when he messed up with Bathsheba. Oh, that one, I knew that one would go over too good. We're talking about not. This is the culture of honor. They surrounded him on two nations. They surrounded him until the prophet stepped up and said, bow off the man. His kingdom, his agenda didn't just disintegrate. But their allegiance was they were there because they knew God had chosen David. See, when we talk about covenant, what if they will be like Jesus? What if they will carry Jesus' characteristics? I don't know if the world here is going to come out of, and Jesus' blood still got us seen. He didn't run from us. He didn't run from us. You go in from the hellhole Yahweh in, and the blood of Jesus, simply because God said, I'm going to send my son. God has reneged on that ever. So just like that, we can't renege on God-given leadership. Remember covenant does. Covenant provides security and protection and gives a person a chance to recover themselves. So we're not just talking about covenant based on what it can do for us. It's talking about us reaching destiny. Does it make any sense? You must be convinced in the spirit that God has appointed their leadership to provide importation, oversight, and covering of your life. You must be convinced in the spirit. You must become honorable and loyal to what God has said in the first. This ain't no group decision. You know why this ain't no group decision? Because all of us are not alike. So some decisions that leadership make, we're gonna be like, hey, yeah. But my brother made that, I don't feel like doing all that. But you can't let your brother now come to tolerate you to be dishonorable and disloyal. Matter of fact, you should be the other way around. Say, brother, you need to get yourself straight. Just you need to get yourself straight. Just because pastor or leader or ain't doing what you want to do, don't mean you're going to walk away. Remind them of what God told them. Is this making sense? See, I'll never forget this definition or this illustration of true submission. True submission is never realized until you have to do something that you don't want to do. competition is never realized you have to do something that you don't want to do. That's where true submission comes. Oh, it's easy to do when you know, I'm loving this. We getting it done. Pastor, really moving, man. She's really going in the right direction. She's rolling, and all of a sudden, she make a decision. Where that come from? I ain't going up all this. And when you tell yourself, we're going to get into, next week, get into a book called Spirit Life Training. We begin to deal with the soul. When you begin to tell yourself and remind yourself of what God says, that means it begins to change how you think. That's Romans 12:2. When you begin to change how you think, then it begins to change how you feel. When you change how you feel, then you change how you act. I can always tell somebody with an unrenewed mind. I look at their, body language. Just look at the behavior. I can tell when somebody really don't like what's going on. Even when they doing it with a smile on their face. Because you can't fake your heart. You can't fake your heart. Whatever's in the heart, it's gonna come out. So your allegiance has to be to God-given leadership. And leadership sometimes is just going to change things. It's just going to change it. See why? Remember, our leadership sees things that he don't see. So we have to trust the word of the Lord. Are you seeing this? I'm here because God told me. God ain't telling me everything. But this is what I do know. This is where I'm supposed to be. And when I trust God in that fashion, thank you, man. When I trust God in that fashion, that means God will take care of everything else. Even if leadership done me wrong, I'm trusting God will take care of it. How many see this? See, we have to, because we got too many Christians in the body of Christ, too many, they just fickle. They don't stay still. Instead of them looking for doors to be opening, they're looking for cracks in dark alleyways. They just get what they want. God is willing to open doors for us to where there'll be no hindrance to walking in the destiny that God has designed for us. You ain't got to be getting no flashlight trying to go in the dark, trying to catch a back door in the alley. You can do it. God is going to create. He wants to create opening a door for us right in the front of everybody. He wants to prepare a table in the presence of our enemies. Are you seeing this? So we can't be going around being sickle with color. We can't go around letting other people affect how we act in color. We have to have, watch this. We have to have, these two, we're going to go over the next five next week. We have to affirm that they are a part of our life. And number two, our allegiance to God-given leadership. That makes sense. See, this class now, Lines of Honorable Men, this book is going to change the way you see covenant. We're going to get to some stuff we're going to start talking about, realizing that people have a grace that we don't have. They have talents that we don't have. And we got to be fine with that. We got to swallow our pride and our ego and realize. Some people, God just, I don't care if some people are jealous of David, but that's just who God told. But if I swallow my ego and pride and connect to David, I find myself walking to the same destiny that David walked in. Come and see that. I'll see you all next week. You'll have a great week.